What's your plan for the rest of your life? What do you want to do with the rest of your life? Hopefully you got a few years left to live. What do you want to do with it? If money, think about it in context of this. Let's say you're planning the rest of your life and money wasn't an issue. What would you do then with the rest of your life? Today, we start a series called Financial Rescue. We're going to cover a few steps to win with money today. And we're going to get right into your business, just so you know. Like, if you're thinking, oh man, I just love to come here and hear about Jesus today. You're going to hear about Jesus, but what Jesus says about money. And so it's going to get into your business, and in about 12 minutes, it'll go completely quiet. Okay, I'm just aware of this, okay? So it's okay, I still love you, and Jesus still loves you, it's good. But we want to make sure that we all achieve financial freedom. It's a huge desire of my heart for you, is that each and every one of you live in full and complete financial abundance and prosperity. That is part of the abundant life, not all of it, but I want to make sure that you have all the information you need to be able to succeed in this. So we're going to start 5 steps to win with money. We're only going to get through 3 of them today, but we have a few weeks to cover this. If you want to track with some of these ideas during the week and you're curious about learning some more, please go visit daveramsey.com. There's some great information there. A lot of the ideas come from Dave Ramsey, Dave Ramsey's ministry. But go to daveramsey.com as you pursue achieving financial wholeness in your life. Now, I want you to give yourself permission today to this. I want you to give yourself permission to be honest, because you can't go anywhere unless you're honest. And I want you to give yourself permission to recognize that change is a process. The things that we talk about today, you will not be able to fully implement by this afternoon. It will take a while. This is not a microwave sermon. It's a crockpot sermon. It'll take a while for you to implement this in your life. So just understand that's what's happened. So if you want to win with money, somebody say win with money, and a lot of people like to win with money. This is not winning with the lottery. That's a different sermon. This is win with money, okay? Win with money. First step is this, get out of debt. Tap your neighbor, say get out of debt. Get out of debt. Did anybody say mind your own business yet? Okay, so get out of debt. Reasons that you need to get out of debt are, one is that debt is risk. Debt equals risk in your life. Just think about this. If all repossessed cars are repossessed because they are in debt, it is a risk to have debt. One time I met with a couple who was stressed out about money. They were a little freaking out, to be honest. We had a quick conversation, and they said, Pastor, we don't understand. We just don't seem to be able to pay all of our bills, but we make quite a bit of money. And I said, well, how much money do you make? And they said, we make about $200,000 a year. That's a fair amount of money. And I said, and you can't pay your bills? I said, there must be something wrong. You're doing something wrong. Let's sit down and meet. Okay. So sat down and met with them, and I said, so how much debt do you have? And they said, well, we don't have very much debt, just a little. And so I said, well, let's be exact. Exactly how much debt do you have? And so as I pushed and pushed and pushed, and we began to write everything down and put everything, it turns out that they had a lot more debt than they realized. They had, it turns out, several extravagant car leases. They were renting a house. They didn't even own their own house. They rented a house that was 5 times bigger than what they needed. They had all the newest clothes and loved to shop. They had all the trendy gadgets, list of unnecessary expenses that if I told you everything would just astonish you. They had multiple credit cards in each other's names that the other did not know about. They had store cards that they didn't even realize that they had. They were behind on their taxes. They owed dozens of relatives, tens of thousands of dollars each, and their family despised them for not paying them back. They were in over their head. They had nearly $500,000 in debt and absolutely nothing to show for it. They were stressed out. Their relationship was in trouble. The walls of life were closing in on them and about to suffocate them. Even though they made a decent income, it was overwhelming because they were in debt. And debt is risky in your life. Now, that's a pretty extreme example, but there are varying versions of that that are in the room today. Another thing you need to know is this. Debt is captivity. Debt is captivity. Proverbs 22:7 says, the borrower is slave to the lender. Somebody say slave.
Slave.
Slave. And nobody wants to be a slave. Nobody likes to say, hey, I'm a slave to MasterCard and Visa, American Express. Because when you are a slave, slaves don't have options. They have to do what they are told. Get up every morning, get in a car with a bumper sticker on the back. I owe, it's off to work I go. When you are a slave to debt, you are stuck. You have to keep a job that you hate because you have to pay the bills. And the truth is, most people get stuck in life most frequently when they are in debt, because they have to pay this back. Another thing about people that are in debt, not only are you stuck, but you find that it is difficult to be generous. It's hard to be generous when you can hardly pay the bills that you owe. You are torn between two competing forces. You're torn between generosity and debt. Generosity and debt. You want to be generous, but you have all this debt. And you're just torn back and forth between these two. Jesus was teaching a large group of people about money. And it would perhaps surprise you to learn that Jesus talked about money a lot. He talked about finances. He talked about wealth. He talked about money. And this is one of those moments. It's in Matthew chapter 6. He spent some time talking about money and the proper use of it. And in verse 24, he says this. Straight from Jesus, he says, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. And perhaps the most important part here, you cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. It's really difficult. It's really one of the most difficult things Jesus ever said. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Yet, debt is enslavement. Debt is a version of enslavement. It's not the only way to be enslaved to money, but debt is part of it. Jesus very simply said, you can't serve two masters. When you are in debt, you are enslaved to money. And I want that to hit you hard today. I don't want that to just be like a gentle tap. I want that to hit you like a tidal wave, like a bomb dropped off in your spirit. Like, oh my goodness, I'm in real trouble. Yes, that's exactly what I want you to feel. That is how I want you to process that today. Money, and here's why. Because money is spiritual. Money is spiritual in its significance. And maybe you never thought about money being spiritual, but it is. And whenever you talk about money, you are having a spiritual conversation, either good or bad. When you are having a decision to make financially, a money decision is a spiritual decision. And so money has spiritual significance in your life. If you're here today and debt is a real issue for you, which I know it is for many, if you feel like all the money that you make from work, it is spent before you get it, all the money comes in, goes out, like your bank account is just a big wind tunnel, nothing can stay in there. If that's you today, let me talk about just a couple of things. You can take the principles from this and apply it to your situation. First is this. I think a lot of people just need to have some plastic surgery in their life. Talking about credit cards here today. Credit cards are dangerous. They trap you. They are tricky little buzzards. They shout out to you from your wallet and purse. And they just suck you in and they trap you. Imagine if you lived a life, just think about this for a minute, like being on the beach somewhere in the Caribbean. Just imagine if you lived a life with absolutely no credit card payments. What if you had none? Not a single one. What if you had no debt? Like, what? That's crazy talk, Pastor Kurt. That can't happen. But it can happen. But what's tricky here is this. Credit cards have now shown up in all kinds of different ways that hide as though they are not credit cards, but they really are. It's the same idea. You got credit cards. You got store cards. You got store credit. You got checking overdraft credit, which is really expensive. And then these demonic things that pop up in cities like Lynn called rent-a-center stores, okay? These are the worst. Like, just don't. If you work at rent-a-center or own one, we can pray for deliverance later, okay? It traps you. My point is it traps you. These things trap you in debt. And you're like, but I got this stuff, and I just pay a little bit a month. It's debt, okay? It's trapping you. Just think what you could do if you did not have any outstanding payment to any of those places. Any credit card, any outstanding revolving debt. You might not know this, but the credit card debt in America now stands at $420 billion. Billion! That's more than a million and more than a thousand. Okay, billion is a lot of money. For those that have credit card debt, the average is over $15,000 for each credit card or per person at very high interest rates. And if you keep using a credit card, if you are currently in any kind of that credit debt, if you keep using a credit card when you are already in debt, then today it is time to do some plastic surgery. Cut the plastic out of your life. If you do that, your life will immediately begin to get better. The debt will begin to go down. That's just one simple thing. What if you didn't have a credit card payment? That's something for you to think about and apply those principles. But let me not just pick on credit cards. They're too easy. Let me pick on something else that's probably equally as easy. Let's talk about how you got to church today. A lot of you drove a car to church today. Some of you walked. Some of you took an Uber or a taxi or a bus. But a lot of you took a car. And some of you, like really, really, that don't have a car, really wish you had a car. Well, until 3 minutes from now. I don't know if you know this, but Americans owe around $1.2 trillion in car loans. The average monthly new car payment is $515 a month. That's a lot of money. But if you have no car payment, if you had no credit card debt, and if you then took all of that money and you invested it with a financial professional, $500 a month over 30 years, you would have well over $1 million. If you invested it over 40 years, your great-grandchildren would be born excessively wealthy. That's what happens when you invest over time. The kind of debt, credit card debt, the car debt, the unnecessary kinds of debt, this kind of debt harms you, and it harms your future. You end up being trapped in this cycle to buy stuff you don't need, to impress people that you don't really like to begin with. It's time simply to make a decision, a financial decision. The decision is this. You draw a line in the sand and you say, I'm not going into any more debt. That's where you start. You can't just blink and make the debt disappear. You got to deal with it. But you can say, I refuse to go into any more debt. And you determine that you will not live the way you did previously anymore. Now, the truth is, this is not easy. this will hurt. Welcome to the pain train, as a friend of mine says. This will have pain involved. It will be a struggle for a while, but the struggle will be worth it. The truth is, you will not get to have some of the things you want to have, and you won't get to do some of the things you really want to do. But it turns out, if you take the time to pay it off, it will change your life. It also, this is something important. This is a fun fact. When you decide to do what God asks you to do, God gets involved in the process. And if you decide as an act of worship to say to God, God, I'm going to get out of debt just like you've asked me to do, then God will get involved. And God has an absolutely amazing way of financially blessing you as you are doing what God asks you to do. Around 20 years ago, my wife and I had accumulated quite a bit of debt, a lot of college debt, college loans, which are extremely dangerous, cars, credit card, things like that. Most of it was college. And we realized that we could not do what God wanted us to do unless we figured out how to live free, how to get out of debt. We knew that God was involved in calling us to start a church here in Lynn. And it took us a few years, a couple of years very aggressively, to get out of debt. And what we did was we simply started with a line in the sand moment where we said, no more debt. We aggressively paid down our debt. We changed our spending habits. Yes, you have to change something in your life. We evaluated every single thing we spent money on. We sold anything we did not use. We increased our giving. That might seem counterintuitive to you, but we knew that if we wanted God to get involved, we had to make sure that we invited God to get involved. And so we increased our giving. We wanted to make sure that we were going to honor God, not just with our money, but that so that we could be debt-free, so we could do whatever it is God wanted us to do without any obstacles. Step one, get out of debt. Tell your other neighbor, get out of debt. Okay, now second. You're like, okay, whew, can we please get out of there? Yes, we can get out of there. We're good now. Can we just talk about Jesus some today? Yes, okay. This is all Jesus stuff, though. I want you to don't miss this. This is all Jesus stuff. Second way to win with money is act your wage. Act your wage. What that means is this. Learn to live on less than what you make. You're not in Congress. So live on less than what you make. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20 says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Fools spend whatever they get. Ask yourself, which one of these are you? If you spend everything you make, according to the scripture, you are being foolish. There is an anecdote to that, though. How do you stop doing this? 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. How do you learn to live on less than what you make? You become content with what you have. Become content. I hate that word sometimes, content. There's a lot of cool stuff out there. A lot of cool stuff. And so sometimes it's hard to be content, but Timothy says godliness with contentment is great gain. And we can learn that lesson. So here's what happens between being content and not being content. When you learn to be content, this is what happens. Your anxiety decreases, your debt subsides, your savings increases, and your giving multiplies. Those are all really good things. So learning to be content is a big deal. Here's what happens when you are not content. When you are not content, your anxiety increases, your debt increases, your savings decrease, and your giving disappears. Which one do you want to be? Learning to be content is important. Foolish living does not prosper. If you live foolishly, you will not live in prosperity. It does not help you, and it does not help anyone else. So learn to live on what you make. Now, I'm going to try to talk super practically for a moment. Some of you right now, you are thinking in your mind, Pastor Kurt, I can't even provide the basics in my life for what I currently make. And I understand that that's a real thing. My response is this. It's time to ask God to get involved, to help you find a job that makes more money for less hours, that will let you live the purpose that God created you for. I'll get back to that in a moment. If you are here today, and that's not your challenge, if you're here today and your challenge is on this, doesn't seem to be that big of a deal because you make a significant amount of money, then your challenge is still to not let money be your God. That's why Jesus said it's harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. It's hard. We all have to be working to make sure that money is not our master, that money is not our God. And to make sure to live though your income is a gift from God and steward it well. If God has given you a lot of resources, then act like you are God's financial planner. Steward it really well. Now, for those of you that are really struggling with your job, to get a job that pays decent, then let me talk to you. First, get God involved in the process. Second, if you don't know this, minimum wage jobs were really not designed for you. Minimum wage jobs were designed for teenagers and for entry-level work positions. In other words, you will never be able to make a living working for minimum wage. Or anything in that ballpark. So what do you have to do? Like, well, what do I do then? You have to find a job that pays you more money. Don't just settle. Don't settle. You are worth more. Find out the jobs that are paying around $30 an hour or more. Don't let me limit you. Figure out the range and then equip yourself to be employed at that job. You have to take yourself up to the next level. That's the only way. Don't settle. Don't just go from 40 hours at a minimum wage job and add another 30 hours at a different minimum wage job. Figure out how to level yourself up, and that's through equipping or education or job training. Number one, get out of debt. Second, act your wage. Get out of debt, act your wage. And third, you're thinking, oh man, this is going to get easy from here on out. It will not. Number three, get on a budget. Everybody's like, oh, come on, serious? This is horrible. I'm going to ask you a real question. If your job was to manage money, if that was your job, you were a financial planner for people, your job was to manage money, would you hire you? Just think about that. Like, are you so awesome at managing your money that people should hire you to manage their money? If the answer to that is no, it's time to educate and inform yourself. You should be the best money manager you know. You can't just bury your head in the sand and pretend like everything's just going to be okay. I'm just going to retire someday and I'm going to have a lot of money. That's not how it works. You can't just bury your head in the sand, think it's going to be okay. Let me tell you something in case you have never heard me say this before. It's not going to be okay. It's not. That's the nature of the world we live in. The world is chaotic. The world is destructive. The world is broken, and it's not just going to fix itself. You have to happen to the world, or the world will happen to you. Don't just bury your head in the sand. Learn. You're like, it's too hard. Learn it anyhow. I just don't understand. Figure out how to understand it. Read it 1,000 times if you need to. Jesus tells this other story about a master who gives bags of silver to 3 of his servants. And each of these bags of silver is worth about 20 years' wages. Okay, so it's a lot of money back then. And there's these 3 servants. One gets 5 bags of silver. One gets 3 bags of silver. One gets 1 bag of silver. And they're supposed to take care of this money and do something that will benefit the master with it. The master goes away, and when he returns sometime later, the servant that had 5 bags of silver had doubled, and now he has 10 bags of silver. The one with 3 had doubled his money from 3 bags to 6 bags. But then there was the servant that only had 1 bag of silver. His story was a little different. You're thinking, oh, did he get 10 bags out of 1? That would be great. Nope, that's not what happened. Matthew 25, verse 26, 24. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant, gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. That's not a good idea. Look, here is your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant, gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. I'm going to read the first part of that again. To those who use well what they are given. Use well what you are given. If you are a boss or you have employees, and someone's doing a bad job at the little tasks you assign them, there is no way you are going to promote that person. Because they're not doing good with the little stuff you give them. How in the world could you trust them to do well with the big stuff you give them? If you're working at the McDonald's and you are awesome at making French fries, and who would have guessed there's a way to mess up the French fries at McDonald's, but there is. But if you're awesome at fries, they will promote you to burgers. And if you're awesome at burgers, they'll keep promoting you. Eventually, you're a shift manager and then a regional manager. You're trying to get ready to buy your own stores. Things are working out because you're using well the gifts that you were given. But if you get promoted from French fries to burgers and you make the burgers bad and you keep messing up the burgers, you're getting pushed back down to French fries, okay? Smelling like French fries all day long. Here's the point. You get from God what you are competent to handle. So increase your competency. Use well what God gives you, and He will give you more. If you get something that you are not ready for, it will destroy you, or you will destroy it. Sometimes we're just not ready. So increase your competency. Otherwise, you end up like one of those people. You know, those people that win the lottery, and then they're worse off like 3 years later than they were before. That's the worst. So you need to have a well thought out and informed plan. This is the get on a budget idea. Luke chapter 14, Jesus again says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? That would just be embarrassing. Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started the building and couldn't afford to finish it. You have to make a plan. And so here's how you do it. Number one, put it on paper. If you can't put it on paper or a spreadsheet or on a computer, if you can't put it into print, it's not real. It's just not real. You're just making it up as you go along. Second, it needs to be on purpose. On paper, on purpose. Then it needs to happen before the month begins. As the worship team comes up, I forgot to call them again. Come on up, worship team. Fourth, you need to give every dollar in your budget a name. Not like Bob or Tom or Fred, but where the dollars are going to. Where the dollars are going to. And if you are married, you need to make sure that you do this budget with your spouse. You need to agree on it with your spouse. Now, I'm going to give you a jump start on this. Different kind of message today, I know. So look on the screen. On the screen, there's an app. It's called Every Dollar. Every Dollar is a financial budgeting app. There's the free version is what you'll download. Don't pay for the other one. Just use the free one. It's very, very good. This will help you set up a budget in your life. So if you're like, how do I do this stuff? Just follow this rules, okay? Just do what that says. Okay? Every dollar in your iPhone, on Google Play, you can do it on your computer as well. Every dollar. Why don't you stand with me as we close? So, just want to make sure that you caught this today. The reason this is so important is because the Bible talks a lot about money. A lot. For your benefit. And in case somehow you missed this, God doesn't care about your money. God cares about you. And He understands that money is the thing that is most likely to distract you from Him. That's why when Jesus talks about not having two masters, He uses money as the other example. Because it's that powerful, that significant. Again, God doesn't care about the money. He cares about you. He's crazy about you. He's got a plan for you. And part of that is prosperity. And so when you're hearing these things or reading these things, how you should be hearing them in your mind is like a loving and good father simply giving his children instructions. Like, hey, if you live this way, then good things are going to happen. And if you don't live this way, then bad things are going to happen. But I want the good things for you. So live this way. Would you all just close your eyes, bow your heads for a moment today? The worship team will close this in just a moment. As they do, I just want you to very quietly reflect with God. And if there's some debt in your life, I would encourage you to say to God, God, I've been living in a manner that is unhelpful. I have so much debt. And I want to figure out how to draw this line in the sand to get out of debt, to live in prosperity. And I invite you into this process. For some of you, that might be right where you're at today. For others of you, it's about your wage, either learning to be content, acting your wage, or maybe it's even learning to recognize that you have a lot of value and that you're allowed to step up. You're allowed to make more. You're allowed to increase your capacity. Maybe you need to talk to God about that some too. Now for others, it's this idea of getting on a budget. You just need to figure out, count the cost, and you need to invite God to help you today. So I'm going to just let the worship team close us with this, just to give you a chance to reflect on that today.
Father, today, thank you that We know that your heart is for us and not against us. That you desire for us to avoid the pitfalls and complicated places in life. So you warn us and you give us instruction and you teach us. So help us today to put these principles into practice, to find ourselves not just tomorrow, but a year from now, and 2 years from now, and 3 years from now, really making full progress on this and seeing your abundance take place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. All right. All right, we got a big game tonight. Hopefully we win, right? But listen, you might not want to come to church next Sunday. It's going to get a lot more into your business next Sunday. So, okay, just a warning. Big warning.